Greg Martin, you said it would happen and it did. The Wallabies won.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to be gloating. I don't like to.
On a gloat.
Okay.
How I love
good
it.
Are we?
Yeah, Christ really good.
Almighty, we're magnificent.
That's okay. You do it plenty in the catch up, so we will get to that.
Yeah, you did really well, mate. You predicted it. You've got almost got the score right, so you got to take credit where credit is due.
The
so
key
well
was, Ed, that I didn't put any money on them. That's when it always stuffs up. As soon as I put some cash on something I believe in, it doesn't work.
Oh, okay.
People running out of fuel off the back of the V8s. That was a bit of fun as well. And then a bit of a shout-out for the groundskeepers at the at Suncorp, who actually do a fantastic job. Nice Monday catch-up for you all.
Shout-out to all the girls who are wearing their husband's undies.
Yeah, we're on to you.
Weird.
Yeah, that's true.
Something that happened. Kevin Walters heading back to the Broncos as well. Dobbo's got all the news in the catch-up. Enjoy it.
Get one unbelievable finance rate across a range of vehicles at West Point Nissan. Only for a limited time at 440 Moggill Road in Rapilli or westpointnissan.com.au.
GC600, excellent. Scott McLaughlin with a huge comeback to win. And then a little bit of rain, which meant that things got a little bit interesting as well. When it starts raining, my favourite thing in V8 supercars happens where when someone has to carry the driver so that his feet don't get wet and they place him on a little mat. Have you seen that? They give him a piggyback and then they spin them around.
No.
That's the best. No, it's best. It's happened 2 weeks in a row. Happened at Bathurst, happened here. They get the driver has to get from the pit out to the little mat that they get into
the
car.
Was that Chaz after the race?
Everybody. They all get piggybacked, a little like piggy, tick, 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 and they pick them out and they plonk them down like they're a little kid. It's great.
That was Saturday, but not yesterday when Scott McLaughlin won.
No, yesterday was fine.
Wasn't that beautiful to see a Kiwi pushing his car because he'd run out of petrol, didn't have enough money?
That was so funny.
He ran out of fuel as he was doing doughies after winning yesterday's race. That was magnificent. Love seeing him push the car himself, though.
He was too. He pushed it the whole way himself.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it was good look. Anyway, let's move on.
Okay, the Roar last night, they had their new French import. He arrived during the week. They're all pretty excited about it. His name's Eric, and I'm going to mispronounce his last name. You'd know it, Ed.
Ed'll know it.
But
it's Baltiak.
Baltiak.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, he was really good. He was on for about 45 minutes. Yeah. No, he played.
He's solid player.
How's the old Italian bloke, Macaroni?
Macaroni. He's good.
He's solid.
What's
our problem? We're 3 games, 3 losses.
Okay, so the problem yesterday was that the first goal was an own goal for the Jets. Yeah, man, that's not good. And then the second goal was disallowed because they went for the first time. And people were so up in arms because they actually went to a video, which they do in every other sport. Yeah. And it was proven, I thought. Ed, did you think that he was offside?
You're only offside if it's part of your body that could score is offside. It looked more like his chest was offside, which I guess you can't score with, but sometimes the hand. So sometimes I don't give it.
Oh, was that close?
Yeah, it was that close.
Yeah, you got to let him go. But can I ask you, because I watched the scrums tear up the penalty area at the Wally Lewis end, at the Caxton Street end, was that really rough and ready? That
no.
It was really badly torn up.
Those groundkeepers, I don't know who you are, but I'm doing a massive shout out to all of you because the pitch, considering what was done to it the night before on the rugby, they must have been working through the night. I mean, you could tell that there was, you know, injury in the grass, but they...
Injured grass.
I gotta come off.
it was a little worse for wear. It was suffering.
Grass physios.
But they
if we got a grass physio,
well.
Give us a yell.
Yeah, if you're a groundskeeper at Suncorp,
grass
then
physio,
hell to you.
From now on.
Because I want to talk to you. You're amazing.
Can I talk about the people who injured the grass on Saturday night? The rugby players, they were called. Hey, sorry, what did I say just before the game started on Fox Sports?
Okay, Phil Kearns, your tip.
Wallabies by 10, Clarkey.
Marto, 24-18 to the Wallabies.
You've thought about, you're 1 point off. You have thought, I can clearly tell you've thought about your score prediction, but Kearns is just throwing out anything.
I know. Well, Kath asked me before I left home in the afternoon. I said, okay, I'll tell you what's going to happen. And I wrote down there was 2 tries and I figured I thought they'd scored 2 tries. And anyway, I nutted it all. The big thing is, despite the fact that the All Blacks were without a number of players and it was a dead rubber, I take you back to 1990 when the All Blacks hadn't been beaten for 4 years and had beaten us the same thing, 7 tests in a row. That was where we were before Saturday night. And it was a wet day in Wellington. It was really windy. And we won that day 21-9, okay? We were called the Woeful Wallabies. We'd been in New Zealand for 6 weeks. Yes, kiddies, we used to travel there for 6 weeks at a time and got the crap beaten out of us the whole way around New Zealand. Won that game within 1 year. We won the World Cup in 1991.
There you go.
That's what's going to happen from here. This is the moment Australian rugby turned the corner and up we go.
Okay.
Well, you needed some hope. Wallabies needed some hope. Yeah. They desperately needed some
hope. They've worked really hard.
Yeah, they have worked hard. But we have to say this because it's really annoying. We have put in requests to speak to the Wallabies. And it's the old, no, they're not talking this morning. Oh, Marto, that is so stupid. This is the one day of the year where someone actually wants to talk to a Wallaby. And apparently none of them are available. I can't understand why teams do this, Marto. Yep. Like this morning is the morning. Like, we'll talk to anyone. We'll try and talk to Israel Folau, for goodness sake. We've tried that before, and you can't. It's like blood from
a
stone.
Okay,
with that
blood. Don't they do it? What is it? The 2-day burn? They're too sore.
Media managers want to protect the players.
What from?
Oh, from all the hungry media who want to ask questions, which apparently makes people interested in the game, which apparently sells jerseys and tickets, which apparently is how the players get paid.
They're worried that Stephen Moore will come on, and the first thing we'll say is, "So who really killed JFK, Steve?" Everyone okay? You guys are all alive, yeah? You weren't. You haven't been killed over the weekend by the present. Vicious scooter gang that has taken over the CBD.
I've seen it. I haven't heard what it was about, though. I saw the vision before of like a couple of hundred little scooter and razor scooter riders going down the road in the valley.
The word you're looking for there is street jam. And this is how it was. This is how it's described on the news.
An out-of-control pack of scooter riders has caused chaos in the city, forcing the shutdown of several busy streets.
Now, forcing the shutdown is a pretty strong word because some of the claims that the police are making was that they were riding on the wrong side of the road. They were scootering on the wrong side of the road. They weren't wearing helmets. So, and there was probably, from the images I saw, there was probably 50 teenage boys. Youngest looked about 10. The oldest looked about old enough to know better. But, Marto, it was organised by someone who's an Instagram/YouTube star. So already I'm not on board. And their name is...
What's his name?
Jack Douth.
My kids know him. Oh. They saw it on the news last night. No, they weren't there. I
heard
all three of them.
Before on the news, he's got 159,000 followers.
Oh. Yeah, he's
a lot of crap scooters, isn't it?
Is this him speaking? Because I don't know what he looks like. This is him. This is his version of the events that took place when the police showed up and said, "Right, you're right on the wrong side of the road. You don't have helmets on. You look terrible. Go home. Do something better with your life." This is his response.
The copper, he came up to me, throat punched me, and like made me go flying back into another copper. I'm like, mate, I'll jump in this. I'll step in nice. But he picks me up and he throws me in there.
Yeah, that's him.
I feel like I'm on the police side.
Mm. I've just had a look. He's 18.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
They should have punched him harder.
I thought he was 14.
No, he's 18.
The girlies haven't dropped.
Flew up.
I think that's what scooter riding does. I think he might have got caught on the throat of the scooter.
We hear him again. This person's 18. Here we go.
We're just riding around and then, they just tried breaking us all up and stuff, sending us on our way. But, you know, the street jam, it's got to continue.
Long live the street jam, man. Hashtag raises out for Jake or whatever his name is.
He's a freestyle. I've just read.
How does he describe himself?
He's a freestyle scooter rider.
Mm-hmm.
How he gets all his followers. So he does flips and twists and twirls. Yeah. And therefore, 12-year-old boys are in love with you. How do you make money out of 159,000 12-year-old boys liking you?
Well, people do downloads and watch and, then you get advertisers. Same thing.
Well, that's the plan. So when you say freestyle scooter rider, is the... Also, unemployed scooter rider? Is that...
Underemployed, I think.
Going nowhere fast scooter rider? Is that part of his job description?
Marto, Ed and Robin on Brisbane's Triple M.
And we've got Troy joining us from North Lakes. Hey, Troy, your son was part of the street jam, was he?
Yeah, mate. My oldest boy, he's been talking about it for weeks. He's been showing me YouTube videos on how they've done it right around the world in different cities. They've just had gatherings of the scooter jams and the top scooter riders have turned up and done all their tricks for the young kids to learn. And so they've got a really big following. Like that guy you're talking about before, he's got so much sponsors behind him. One of the tricks that they were pulling off, my boy actually pulled the trick off and earned himself $50 and a set of wheels and some grip tape.
$50,
And that happened yesterday, Troy. He did that yesterday.
Yes, that was yesterday's. But, hey, at least he was out of the house, not sitting in his cave playing the PlayStation
That's
for the
true.
Day.
That's
Look,
true.
It's very,
he was
it's
outside.
Very true. How old is he, Troy?
He's 15, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. Now, Troy,
a year or two.
We're going to play a game tomorrow, but you can start us off, okay? We believe that there is an upward age limit for various types of transport-based fun, which is scooters, BMX bikes, and skateboards. What is the upper limit of age, do you think, for a scooter slash razor rider? When should they have to? When's it time to give it away?
I reckon 16 should be the cutoff.
Yeah.
Yep. BMX should go till you're about 25 on your BMX. And your skateboard's forever.
No,
everyone was caught up with a skateboard.
Hang on, why 16 for the scooter?
Well, because I just think they look real. I go to the Redcliffe skate park all the time, and the big kids on their scooters just don't look like they should be on them at all.
We'll talk about it tomorrow, but that BMX, I'm with you on the two others, but the BMX, you need to hand that in when you're 17 as well, I reckon. You got to go to mountain bike then.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. Thanks, Troy.
See ya.
Good on you, mate.
Cheers.
Who would describe themselves as the yoga expert around here?
I do a lot of Bikram yoga.
Bikram yoga?
Yeah,
I really like
Bikram yoga.
I used to do that ages ago and people taunted me about 5 years ago. I went, oh, okay.
Are you sweaty?
Oh, so much.
I reckon you'd be the guy that sits in a pool of his own sweat doing the downward dog. Huh? No.
Kath reckons it doesn't work. It's just water you're losing. I don't know what the technical...
Certainly my body will hurt after doing a good session of Bikram yoga. It feels like I've done something. But anyway, you are clearly the yoga aficionado.
I'm not the yoga aficionado. I haven't done it for years. But the thing is, I'm still trying to do weights once or twice a week and riding the pushy. But I realise I'm getting older. I need to stretch more. Mm. I need to do... You know a fair bit about this sort of stuff.
I once did a six-week course. Because I'm, not very flexible.
Yeah. And, did it help?
A little bit of improvement, but my wife's very, because of martial arts, she's really good at stretching. She's always trying to get me to stretch. It just hurts, Marlo. And to be honest, I could never get in the mindless state or whatever it is. I'd just be sitting there thinking, this is annoying. I could never get into it. Didn't do anything for me.
You know, this might just be a me thing. Actually, 1-3-3-5-3, are there any blokes who are doing yoga? Is it helping? Is it a good thing? My problem is I'm holding farts in a lot of the time. I just don't push to that last little extreme because you've got females around. Why don't we do bloga? Like just blokes doing yoga, you can stretch to, just let them go and stretch. Because do you find that doing yoga?
No.
You don't let yourself go completely?
I don't tend to. Actually, it's never occurred to me that that's what I'm doing during a yoga class.
You're holding on to things.
But if you stop the boys being in the Bikram yoga, there's no one to laugh at.
What do you mean?
Well, because really sporty guys who are obviously very muscle-bound find yoga very difficult because of the flexibility.
I've got old knees. I can't do a lot of the stuff.
It's kind of entertainment.
Funny. Yeah, all right. All right. I just want to know, are there any of our listeners who will admit to doing yoga? It's a wonderful thing. I'm saying it now. I want to get back into it. But what do you do? Because there's a thing called Ashtanga, like power yoga or something or other. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, it's all about the different types of breathing and poses, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Because Bikram is a person. Bikram is a real person who lives in L.A. And he wears... This is a true story. My mate used to see him around.
Dodgy.
He wears robes and drives a huge Bentley with the number plate Bikram. Mm. Well, so he's found enlightenment.
You know the other thing?
West Hollywood.
If blokes did do yoga, it'd only take 20 minutes. Yeah, they carry on with a lot of nonsense.
Goes forever.
Doesn't that Bikram yoga go for 90 minutes?
Yeah, an hour and a half.
See, blokes get out, sorted it. All right, yeah, how was it? Yeah, good.
And
feel
fart
great.
A fine. Lot.
And yeah, we would fart a lot. There'd be beers at the end too.
Okay.
All right, tell me if you're doing yoga, what sort should I do?
Mark it's of Cleveland. Boring. Good morning, Mark.
Guys, how you doing?
Yeah. Are you a yoga guy?
No, starting to because I slipped my disc in my lower part of my back where I cut my legs off and I couldn't walk for a couple of days. And the doctors wanted to fuse my back. So I spoke around and they suggested doing core work, so Pilates and yoga. Mm, yeah. Yoga for stretching.
Well, I got a sore back. That's why I'm interested in this all of a sudden.
Right, but also Pilates too, because it's core work that we need to build. And now I'm not a big guy. I'm only a thin guy because I'm a Zumba instructor as well. But when you do your back, it cuts everything off. So you got to look after your body.
Mark, is Zumba still occurring? I thought it was a craze that swept Australia and then it disappeared.
No, I don't know. It's pretty popular. Still goes. A lot of people just like to get out and about, like, my clientele at the time was from 16 to 83.
Wow.
So I had a range of young to elderly people coming through, and fitness nowadays is all based on the getting on with age because the basic basic bending and stretching is required as you get older, because as we know in our 40s and onwards, we start to ache, bones really hurt, we can't stretch properly. And then when you get into your 50s and 60s, they start getting their fitness back up again. So at the end of the day, it's your body. You've got to look after it.
That's good.
That's a good call, Mark.
I just want to know a little bit more. What happens in a Zumba class? Is it just doing what do you do?
You ever go to school when they taught you dancing and PE and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
And a bit of Latin-style dancing? Yeah. Well, that's pretty much what it is, and it's just aerobics. So instead of doing aerobic moves, you just do Latin dancing with aerobic beats of music. But with yoga and all that, you still got to work your core muscles. So they all work together, and if you're having problems bending over, picking up, say, a chair or something like that, and you do your lower back so you don't bend your knees, you really start to hurt yourself. So stretching is very, very important, and yoga and Pilates pretty much helps me doing that.
Beautiful.
Saves me from getting a back fused.
Oh, see,
thank you, mate. Exactly.
That's worth it. Okay, there's a 9:30 class.
Zumba or yoga?
No, yoga. But actually, it's a quick one. It's a Bonfire 60.
Oh.
9:30 class at Jindalee. Marto, there you go.
No, I haven't got 60.
Lock him in.
30 minutes is me.
Then at 4 o'clock, you could do belly dancing. Sorry.
Get in there, mate.
Belly dancing?
Helping small business grow is my passion. Hi, I'm Mark Boris, and I want to share that passion with you with my podcast, The Mentor. If you're into business, listen now on Podcast One as I get the stories from those just starting out and those on the verge of a major turning point. Join me for The Mentor, and I might just help your business grow as well. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
That's the end of rugby union for me for the season. So I'm strapped in, and I've just looked down, and it's 1 month to go until the first day of the first Ashes test in Brisbane, Thursday, November 23rd. Good. How exciting.
Wow, great. It's a month to get, you know, your partners in to do the things you need them to do, and then you lose them again. Is that what you're saying?
You couldn't
me?
Even fake any enthusiasm there.
I can't stand
that's
cricket.
Tremendous.
I can't stand it. I know. It goes some people forever. Can't
stand cricket. I know. Well, I was talking to a mate of mine yesterday, and we were talking about it. Then we realised we were talking about the first day. We were going to go to the first day, and then we'll watch the second, third, and fourth day on TV, and what a weekend it's going to be. That's the whole thing.
Glorious.
See, that's better.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Ed, and we realised I can't watch it on Channel 9. Mm. Mark Nicholas.
Yeah, he's a real problem, and that's
it's got to end. Channel 9, if they're fair dinkum, if they want to have the cricket, they should have it taken off them by the people who take shows off.
The networks,
Australian
you
Bureau
mean?
Of Technology. What are they? Isn't there? Whoever the people are who award cricket to Channel 9 must remove it from it. If Mark Nicholas. Who's Mark Nicholas? The English guy. You know the one.
Oh, it's a great take. Except it isn't a great take. I really thought Boucher had pulled off something spectacular.
What's wrong with him? He seems amiable enough.
He got it wrong. He gets it wrong all the time.
What about that one, Mark Nicholas?
Oh, you see, little fumble, and Warner, because of the speed he ran the first one, had set up the second. He moves to 97. Never been out in the 90s.
He was out very next ball.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so he just has no idea.
No, he's a pain. He's an Englishman. This is all about playing England versus Australia. We can't have him fronting our network. And to that end, can I, from this day, 1 month out, I'm going to talk about this incessantly. You need to turn the sound down on Channel 9 and turn up Triple M. Channel 9 have got Bill Laurie, Ian Chappell, Slats and Tubby. They've got Heels. Heels should be actually working on Triple M. Mm. Triple M's commentary team. Gilly, Brad Haddon, Kerry O'Keefe, Ian Botham, Brett Lee, Mark Waugh, Mitch Johnson, Dizzy Gillespie, Merv Hughes, with the Moon Man and Mick Malloy.
Hang on, and Isha Gua, who I really like.
No one knows who Isha Gua is.
Yeah, she's the female who's the former.
Well, she should do female cricket then.
Why? She knows about. Has she played men's cricket? No, of course she hasn't, but she's played cricket and she brings women in. If you're going to complain that he's so bad, then at least
I haven't heard her, so perhaps she's all right. 133353 if she's all right.
That's shocking. You can't be so blatantly nasty.
I said I haven't heard her, so she might be all right. If you listen to the whole thing, I said she might be all right.
Let's get back to Mark.
Yeah, let's get back. Stop with that nonsense.
Channel 9, if Channel 9 is going to have an Ashes series, and I think you're right, if Channel 9 is going to have an Ashes series And every time they come back from a break, it's like a guy who's sort of doing an after-dinner speech to the graduates of Eton from 1976.
That's right. That's not what you want to hear.
He's so dull, Mardo. Well, I remember what I was...
playing...
What I was chatting to Prince Harry at a second-grade match. And I tell you, there was a couple of young boatmen that came past. And I said, nice hats, boatman.
Oh, okay.
And I tell you, we laughed.
And it's over to you, Tubby.
Yeah,
he's
got to get the toilet, mate.
All right, so just remember
so
that.
So dull.
Unless Channel 9 take heed.
Well, Channel 9's got someone spare. They got someone spare. Why can't Lisa do it?
Oh, no, because she hasn't played cricket. And therefore she couldn't commentate. Well, isn't that right, Mardo?
Or Dickie. Or someone from the block. Elise from the block.
Thank you. Someone's saying it.
We have our resident All Black. How are you going there, Claire, from the newsroom?
I'm just going to say, really good for world rugby, Mardo. I'll just say that.
They are very gracious of you. Very gracious. Were you one of those Kiwis who on Saturday night scuttled at the minute the full-time whistle went?
Maybe.
Yeah, well, that's just cruel because Aussies were looking to taunt someone and they didn't have any people with black jerseys on.
We're gone.
Anyway, let's get on to safer territory.
Yeah, good.
Talking about storms because there were a couple this morning, my Lord.
There were indeed. So a nasty wake up this morning. And actually, heads up, I've been on the phone to the Bureau all morning and they do say there could be more throughout the day.
There's one going through Logan very shortly. It's just coming through Harris. Sorry. Is this a weather check? Are we doing a weather check?
Yes, we're doing a weather check. You're allowed to talk about it.
There is another storm coming through. And Claire, it's one of the traditional ones. Whenever we have a thunderstorm, most of them, 95% of them, come from the southwest and go through in these corridors.
They do indeed. That's it. And it's funny timing. So we've got all the storm action today, more to come throughout the day, actually throughout the week, to be quite honest with you, according to the Bureau. But then on top of that, we've got these stats out from, so it's from NRMA Insurance. So it's an insurance-based stat. They basically pulled the numbers as to where all the claims come from throughout storm season, because we are coming into that time. And we've got the top five suburbs for who is most likely to be quite severely storm affected. Mm. Coming in on top is Forest Lake, Mardo. So
Forest Lake?
That's it. So they're number one.
Why? It's weird.
Well, that's it.
All right, give me the other four.
Okay.
Because they're not giving you any whys. They're just giving you this is who claims the most on insurance.
These are where the claims come from. So number one, we've got Forest Lake. Yeah. Capalaba in at a close second.
Yeah.
Then we've got The Gap, Carindale,
and
number five, Chapel Hill.
Okay,
what does that all mean to you? Hold on, I've got it on the
referee. But Chapel Hill and The Gap make sense to me because of the being on the side of the mountains. Like, they're the suburbs that just before you hit, like, Chapel Hill before you hit Mount Coosa, and then The Gap on the other side of that.
You know, sometimes there'll be a big storm coming through. You see it on the Bombhead, you know, the ones that come from Ipswich sort of thing and Boona. And Mount Coosa and the little mountain range there, that can split the storm. Mm. One will sneak through The Gap and one will come through Chapel Hill. And then that's where I've just picked up on this now. They're also saying that Chermside, Boondall and Deegan. So they're they're the places that get hit are those ones that sneak through The Gap, keep on going and hit those three. The ones that come from, you said Forest Lake. If that keeps on going to the northeast, which the storms do, that's Capalaba and Carindale.
That's it. So that's where all the claims come in.
So there's two little corridors on either side of Mount Coosa.
There you go. Oh, we've worked it out.
Well, I'll let the Bureau know that you're available for any radio interviews throughout the day.
Oh, well, at a cost.
I don't win Robin on Triple M.
Yesterday afternoon, just sitting down, beautiful weather, listening to all the other blokes in our neighbourhood mowing their lawns. God, we're boring, aren't we? Anyway, so I'd already done
the weather for it.
All right, so I sit down and I said to Kath Roy, because I had my headphones on while I was mowing, and I went, I'm sick of the rubbish music that I have. It's time we took control of our lives. Kath and I share music, okay, on our thing. So I said, sit with me. And we went through and she said, we can never know how to delete it.
Okay, but hang on, who put it on there?
Hillary put it on when she was 14 or so, probably 5 years ago. We said, mum and dad need some music. So she put it on. And that's when I found how to delete it. So I said, I'm not going to leave this phone until I find this delete business. Because we've tried a couple of other times, Ed, and it hasn't worked. So I got to 22 Justin Bieber songs, as I just said to you. Just went, wow.
Well, she was 14.
It just kept coming at us. But a guy called Pitbull, you ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Mr. 305.
That's what he kept on saying. Every single song that I deleted, the first three words went, Mr. 305. And then there was Flo Rida. And there was Corn. Eminem, I let him, I hung on to two with Eminem, so it was all right. Kanye West, doesn't he? Speaks a decent nonsense. Oh. See, I've only seen these names. I'd never knew what the songs were. So I ride after leave here. I go for a ride and I put it on shuffle. The phone's in the backpack, so I've been subjected to this nonsense music for years and I've just worn it, going, oh, I don't know any better. Deleted yesterday. All right, I'm going to turn it on right now. You watch this. Tell me, this is how Kath and I did it yesterday.
Can we just say he's plugged his iPod in himself, so we've got no control over what's about to happen.
No, I've just turned it on. Here's the first one. Do you know of a girl called Rihanna?
Yeah.
I do.
Hold on. Nah, come on. See, and then I'd say to Kath, what do you want to do? And what do you think she'd say for that one?
That's okay.
That's gone, that one.
Okay, that's gone. It's deleted.
Rihanna
also
again.
Rihanna?
Yeah, see, that's what happens. I might get a series of Rihanna here. We're not keeping that one.
Okay.
Who's Call Me Maybe?
Oh,
Carly
Rae
Jepsen. Oh, this is a keeper.
No, she's good up a hill.
Ed loves this.
It's gone.
No, keep Carly Rae.
Rihanna again. Oh, jeez. What a pest. She's like a weed on the side of the road. You can't get rid of her.
Get out of the Rihanna section. What else you got?
I like this one.
What's this?
Prayer in C.
Yeah.
Someone in Lilywood.
This has got an old song in it. This has got an old song.
Timmy Trumpet.
Oh, don't. I'm so sick of this song.
What's this?
He was in town not so long ago.
Is he gone or is he staying?
No, he's gone. Oh, that was me that was gone.
This is rubbish.
You're actually okay. My sons are all about rappers who swear at you.
Oh, no, I had all that. That's that Pitbull fella. Don't Walk Away. Tony Childs. Oh, classic for me.
Oh, keep.
Yeah, it's more my speed. I like Tony. Oh, listen to this one. Bad Meets Evil. Fastlane.
What are they up to?
What's this?
Oh, have a go at that disgusting bass.
This is Royster 5'9".
No, no, get seriously.
Right.
They'll start
you never know what
at
they're
going
to say.
Sorry. Get back to reality. Sorry. Tony Childs.
Are we good now?
No. Oh,
are you going to keep going?
Oh, here. Yeah, a bit of Black Keys. Anyway, let's get back on to work.
Okay. So this is you going up. So just you're going up Mount Cootha. So let's say you're riding up Mount Cootha. You're doing your best. You're on your bike.
And those people came on.
And what happens?
And Tony Childs comes on and I get a delicious smile comes onto my face. But Rihanna comes on. I go, what is that nonsense? And I never know what it is because it's in my backpack. So I don't know who I'm listening to. I just go, this is crap.
This is crap.
My life's been free.
You're like a reverse Molly Meldrum. Do yourself a favour. Delete the lot. Start again.
Start again. You're right.
Garbage.
Big news. Last night on the news, Dobbo fronted up and told everyone that Kevvy Walters, it was a bit of a shock when the news came out, Kevvy Walters would be going back to the Broncos as assistant coach where he left 2 years ago. Dobbo's with us now. Dobbo, of course, from the Triple M Luke Bradnam show on in the afternoons at Drive Time. Dobbo, how are you, mate?
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are you? If you're a Queenslander and a Broncos supporter, you'd be still partying, I'd reckon.
It's that good, hey?
Well, I mean, you guys must be fishing out of the same pond that I am, because last week you guys on your show, when I was talking to you about the coaching circus down at the Titans, insinuated that you'd heard a little whisper. I can tell you, this has been doing the rounds for a couple of weeks, and it was all confirmed over the weekend. Kevin Walters, after the board meeting on Friday with the QRL, had been given a 2-year extension as the Origin coach, which is fantastic.
Wow.
But also, in conjunction with the Broncos, have struck a deal that will see Kevin Walters go in as one of Wayne Bennett's assistant coaches for 2 years. Now, everybody can look at that and say it's about time. 2015, we all remember what he did with the halves pairing of Ben Hunt and Anthony Milford.
Yep.
Got him to a grand final and also close to winning a premiership against North Queensland. But Wayne Bennett is off contract in 2 years' time.
Yeah.
This is the perfect transition for a club legend of Kevin Walters to do his apprenticeship for the next 2 years, and then you'd think we'll take over the reins at the Broncos.
That is a big scoop. Kevin Walters is transitioning. That's a huge scoop. Well done.
Hey, Dobbo, didn't take the Gold Coast job? He knew this was brewing for a while, didn't he?
He spoke to Wayne Bennett. I've spoken to Kevin, and I can be in all seriousness now. Every time I've tried to ask him, he shut it down. He said no. I spoke to him yesterday. He said he was absolutely ecstatic. He's so happy that it's actually got through. But my understanding is that he rang Wayne and said, Wayne, I actually want to do more coaching than just three games. He said, I want to be a career coach.
There's no question that the Titans had him at the top of the list. They spoke to him. He wasn't interested in that job. I rang him and I said to him, mate, what are you doing? Why aren't you taking this job? He said, mate, it just didn't feel right. He's coaching a great side in Queensland, but obviously now it's come out that he was in confidential discussions with the Broncos, and this is way more inviting. His family obviously live in Brisbane. He lives in Brisbane. It makes a lot of sense. It gives him flexibility to coach the stateside still and improve his coaching.
Hey, why does Wayne accept him now, whereas he said, no, can't have you for the last 2 years?
Well, that's a good question. It's something you might have to ask Wayne. I would have thought he said he needed to go. I can't. It looks now, the Broncos obviously haven't performed to where they want to be. They've got a great assistant coach in Jason Demetrio, who's also there. So two really good assistants.
Oh, well done, Dubbo. I was under the understanding that Demetrio was the attack coach. What is Kevy going to feature in? Is he going to be a halves specialist or something?
I've heard this. Talking to Wayne Bennett hasn't made his mind up, but I would think if you've had one of the greatest halves to ever play the game.
Six premierships.
I would suspect that he would be running the attack. I don't know much, but I would think that he would be running the attack.
I didn't think you're allowed to coach an NRL team and the State of Origin side.
He had to ask the QRL for permission to do it both.
That's been the best thing that's happened out of this, that the QRL obviously have understood that they've got a really good coach. I mean, Kevin Walters has developed 8 new Origin players in the last 2 years. He won the series when they were 1-0 down. He's obviously a good coach and getting the best out of them. And the fact is that the QRL have given approval. It's a really good deal. And the QRL need to be congratulated because they actually have had a bit of foresight here and gone, you know what, we've got a great coach. He's only going to get better week in, week out. And you're going to see more players. He gets a better view of it because he's coaching against them and with them. It's a great move,
What does Kevy do about Fox Sports? Can you still commentate, be an assistant coach and a Queensland coach?
He might have as many jobs as you, Marto, if he does that.
You don't go too bad yourself, mate.
That's pretty good.
Excellent, all right, mate. Good wrap-up.
We'll hear you this afternoon, mate.
Certainly will. Good on you guys.
Hey, Wallaby Saturday night. Let's not worry about the score. It was all... They seem to be back on track. Biggest thing was, and I was so pleased when the two of your ears both pricked up, when we were talking about the pre-match stuff. There was some dull stuff, like... The national anthem. It's one of our listeners. It was his brother sang the Australian national anthem.
Did a good job.
A minute silence. You know, that was important for all the Wallabies who have died in the last year. But the big one was the welcome to country. And I saw it on the rundown before the game and went, oh, this will be interesting. Some of them drag on a little bit and some of them you can barely hear them. This was the finest rendition of the welcome to country I've heard in about, I've heard 30 of them, I reckon. And this bloke has absolutely nailed it. Have a listen.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is my honour, on behalf of my tribal group, the Yagara people, to give you what is known as a welcome to country. Now, this didn't start with event organisations and the Aboriginal people in the past 10 or 20 years. It's something that our people have been doing since the beginning of time. Our country, the Yagara, goes from the Caboolture River in the north to the Logan River in the south and out to the Great Dividing Range near Warwick and Toowoomba. In Australia, there's over 300 different Aboriginal countries. In fact, there's more Aboriginal countries than what there are in the entire world. Ladies and gentlemen, one call out that we do, all the East Coast tribes in Australia, to let them know that we are travelling through their country, is a well-known Australian call-out. Sounds like this. Gooey! Now it's your turn. 1, 2, 3. Yuri Yadangambali, give yourselves a round of applause, calling out in the lingo. And welcome to our country, ladies and gentlemen. Go the Wallabies. Good luck, New Zealand.
Well, that was it. And the lucky thing is we've got Shannon Ruska with us right now. You're the director of Nunakol Yugara Dance Corp. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, mate.
That was the best welcome to country I think I have ever seen, Shannon. Well done.
Well, yeah. No, it was just something we do normally, I think.
The interaction with the crowd of getting them to cooey back to you.
Did you know about the cooey, Robin?
No, I did not.
I'd never heard the cooey call before. No. It was wonderful, mate, to describe what we do when we enter other people's countries.
Yeah. Well, it's actually something that the East Coast tribes did. There's a write-up about it in the Trove newspapers, which is a collection of the old newspapers, and it mentions there that the settlers heard the old call-out. Cooey, and so it's been something that the tribes have been doing since for years and years, and it's great that, you know, Australia has embraced it, so, sometimes without even knowing, but it's all a part of us now.
Well, I'm calling, you know, God, Australians since the 2000 Olympics did the old Aussie, 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 oi, 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 what a load of nonsense. Mate, the cooey, it should come in during the game. Were you surprised so many people responded when you put the cooey out the other night?
Yeah, well, see, you can't really hear much when you're out on the field, so I thought, I'm going to throw this out there and see how the crowd respond. It was just a great reaction from all the Aussies out there. Not only the Aussies, but even New Zealand was calling it out as well, which was amazing.
Well, it is. They've been tapping into their Maori culture for so long. It's about time we did it with ours. Did you love the jersey as well?
Oh, mate. Yeah, beautiful jersey.
Isn't it?
It was a nice design, simple print, and goes a long way.
I reckon that should be the Wallaby jersey full stop from now on. You're amazing, Shannon. Mate, so impressed. I reckon you should do the Welcome to Country every single time.
Well, mate, I'm available.
Thanks, Shannon.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you all.
Okay, I want to do a really massive shout-out to the groundskeepers at Suncorp Stadium because I, like the rest of the country, watched the Wallabies take on the All Blacks in the Bledisloe Cup on Saturday night. And then I backed it up by going actually live to see the Raw play yesterday. And yes, you could see there were markings on the pitch where, first of all, the advertisements had been placed. But secondly, now, okay.
Oh, what did they look like? I didn't watch the Raw yesterday because because I watched them put them on. They had to redo them because the rain didn't stop until just before the test started just as. They had to do that a couple of times on the Saturday afternoon, redo all the advertising things because the rain washes off some of it.
Oh.
So they had to go over the top. Did they get it all off?
Yeah, well, you could see a shadow of where the ads had been, but the much more impressive stuff was where the divots from the rugby play had been. Now, I remember watching, I think it was in the first half, where the Wallabies got a breakaway and they literally carved up the ground underneath them.
Well, that was the scrum actually destroyed it at the start because that's all the pressure. You've got eight people who are about 110 kilograms each. So you've got 900 kilograms pushing 900 kilograms and finally something has to give and often it's the turf is the first thing.
Well,
I looked at that and wondered how the rule, because that was right, if that's Suncorp there, I've got a diagram, right in the penalty box area.
Yes, it was.
Did they fix all that up?
Yes, they did.
They're amazing.
And it looked like what they'd done was got these squares of grass and sewn it into, and I know nothing about turf, can I just say that straight off, but it looked like they'd sewn it into the turf that was already there.
That's what they do. It's all fine. There's a mesh. If you looked at it in, what do you call that, Ed? Cross-section. If you looked at it from the side, going downwards, it's grass, dirt, a lot of sand, but there's mesh in there too.
Oh, they do literally sew it in.
Yeah, and it's all
what
weaved
was that mix?
In.
Grass, dirt, and then mesh all sewn in at once. That's also how they do Laurie Daly's hair.
Smarto, Ed and Robin on Brisbane's Triple M. We'll catch you tomorrow.